Live from Bailiwick, inside the Orleans Hotel and Casino. Welcome to the Runnin' Rebels Basketball Coaches Show. Brought to you by Chevron. It's proven. No gasoline gets better mileage than Chevron with Techron. Care for your car. And by State Farm. Go with the one that's here to help life go right. Talk to an agent today at 800-STATE-FARM. Now, here are your hosts, John Sandler, Robert Smith, and Steve Cofield.
Welcome once again to Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel Casino. Great to be with you on this chilly evening here in Las Vegas. I guess Halloween came and went. Usually it snaps cold about then, but a little bit late this year. But Coach doesn't think it's cold. He's out there in a bathing suit. Probably it's 50 degrees coming from South Dakota and Minnesota and all of those places. But for us here in the Valley, that's chilly. And talking Runnin' Rebel basketball, of course, John Sandler, Curtis Terry, Steve Cofield, Nick Murphy, our engineer, and, of course, the head coach, T.J. Otzelberger, with you here at Bailiwick. Should be a fun hour as we will talk a little bit about last night, more about the program in general and some vision the coach has for what he wants to do over his the next year, I would say, as a long take a long-term view of things in terms of program building. Spend some time talking about the opponent coming up on Saturday, because the Rebels have a big and a very difficult game on Saturday, a challenge SMU, the Mustangs, at the Thomas and Mack, 7:30 tip on Saturday night, and a good crowd at the Thomas and Mack would help, because that is going to be a tough game indeed. Also going to visit with assistant coach DeMarlo Slocum for a little bit, and a guy who's been playing okay, Amari Hardy, who's been absolutely brilliant to start the season, will join us as well. But we'll bring in the gang, Coach, Curtis, Steve. Great to see everybody. Coach, I know last night did not go the way you wanted. Texas State, really good defensive team, physical, and Rebels just didn't get it done.
Yeah, they're a good club. We knew coming in they're a very good defensive team. Offensively, they kind of grind you and make you guard later in the possession. And we just didn't do a great job handling it. I thought we got off to a great start. We had the tempo and the flow that we needed and wanted. It got away from us, and then I felt like we were kind of climbing uphill in offense and defense in late possessions and weren't able to convert offensively. And then we were in spots on the defensive end where we had breakdowns late in the clock as well.
Curtis, we talked about in the wrap-up show last night about dictating and dictating tempo, dictating style, dictating at both ends of the floor. And it's something the Rebels did early in the game but didn't get done late. And what happens in a game, other than the fact that Texas State plays well, where you kind of lose that that heavy foot on the accelerator, if you will?
I think you got me there, Nick? Okay. I think every situation is different. For me, it's typically just not having that confidence and feeling good about what you're doing. And therefore, you start doubting yourself. Shots become a little bit shorter. Hesitating, am I supposed to rotate to this guy? Supposed to switch? A lot of different things come into it. One thing I'm curious about, Coach, and I want to ask, because you talked about it with Steve at halftime, but then also at the end of the game you mentioned it, guys being shot ready. I know what that means. I think a lot of people do. But can you describe like what you mean by shot ready, so that way it's understood in terms of not just what the guys are expected to do, but kind of how that happens in terms of the offense and the structure and how that can mess up timing, like you kind of mentioned last night.
Yeah.
You know, I think basketball is a game of making the right play at the right time. There's a rhythm to it. And I think for us, how we're working with our guys and teaching, you know, make the right play at the right time. When two come to the ball, make the pass or beat around the edge, beat the big around the edge. And so for us then, in the half court, we need to make sure when somebody's making a play and penetrating to break down the defense that we have movement on penetration and guys are getting their feet ready to get in their shot. And I think what's happening a lot of times is that we're passing up some open opportunities and then we end up in a more challenged spot offensively. Maybe it results in a turnover or a more difficult shot. So we need our guys to understand we have great confidence in them. Especially to knock down those catch-and-shoot three-point shots when they're coming from the paint. We need to be shot ready. We need to have our feet ready, our hands ready. We need to attack that shot because we're finding when we don't, we end up with a more challenged possession as it moves forward.
And Coach, that last statement I think is something that maybe fans don't appreciate. It's the fact that when there is a pass made to a player who is open, the expectation on the floor is that player is going to take that shot or take advantage of an opportunity to drive, whatever it is. When that doesn't happen, it throws off the rhythm of the offense in that sequence, and guys get out of sync, and all of a sudden the offense either looks a little stagnant or guys are out of position. It just doesn't work as smoothly.
No, and I think that's why it's important that we're prepared for all those opportunities. And I think, you know, specifically with Amari, what's really been impressive is that his focus on making the right play at the right time. And he and I had a conversation earlier today about it that I said, you know what, he's done such a tremendous job. I mean, the heart of a lion, he's so competitive, wants to do the right thing for our team. And I think everybody needs to have that mindset of the right play at the right time. And it's so important because, again, otherwise that rhythm gets disrupted, and now there ends up being possessions where maybe there's more dribbling there or more standing than you would like, but it's the result of passing up an open opportunity that kind of took everybody out of that rhythm.
So we started off this conversation talking about dictating pace, and you actually mentioned something pretty interesting last night, that Texas State, not only did they find a way to dictate pace with their offense, but they also did it attacking the glass, which I don't know if most people noticed what you guys had to do just to corral defensive rebounds. So can you build on that, what you said after the game last night, and how, you know, it really slowed you down just trying to collect the rebounds?
Well, I think both in, you know, the Kansas State game as well as the Texas State game, those teams are crashing three guys, and they're programmed every single time the shot goes up that they're bringing force to the boards. And you've got to exert so much effort to block them out that many times coming up with the rebound is more of a deep breath and a sigh, and then it slows down that pace and tempo. I think we've all seen our team in stretches or at spurts or at points in time when we're at our best, we're able to keep the ball out of the paint, contest a perimeter shot, get a long rebound, get out in space, and be able to push and play before that defense gets set. What happened last night is the game kind of settled in, whether it was them scoring or them having shot attempts that were too close to the basket that caused kind of a scrum for the rebound. It didn't allow us to get out in space and have that spacing and run the lanes and hit ahead. It's something we've got to be more intentional about, and we'll continue to implement and talk about. But I think for us to really be good offensively, it starts with keeping that ball in the paint, getting those long rebounds with two hands, getting them in the hands of our playmakers, and getting out and going, and now keeping that pace flowing.
This is for both of you guys. Defensive energy and getting stops also energizes the team, right? That leads to pace control, the kind of pace that you guys want.
Absolutely it does. And I think it starts with, you know, for us, we talk so often about ball pressure and just making sure that we have a mentality so that, you know, the guy across from you feels like he's in a fight, and that you're going to stand your ground. You're not going to give ground. You're not going to open your hips. You're not going to let the ball get to the paint. And I think when you can kind of outwill your guy and get him to take the shot that you want, now that brings all the momentum back your way. Yesterday's game ended up in late shot clock possessions a lot each way. We ended up with the majority of our turnovers in those situations and blocked shots. They ended up having the composure and the poise to play later in those possessions and scoring. I think part of it is that's what their DNA as a team, that's what they want to do. They want it to be a grind out type of game, and that's where they feel at their best, and we've got to be more intentional to prevent that from happening.
And I mentioned this on the broadcast last night, like, somebody's got to get nasty. For me, it was somebody's going to pick up full court, slap the ground, and climb up in the guy. That is, for me, like, that's how you can change momentum defensively. You kind of bring that energy. But again, defensively, you can dictate, because defense is going to start your offense. Like Coach said, it sounds easy. If we keep the ball out of the paint, if we rebound, we can run, we can score. But again, that all starts with that defensive mindset, because you can't run if they're making a basket and they're set back on their defense, and then you've got to walk the ball up.
Yeah, it's something we've talked about for years with the Runner Rebels, how defense and I've had numerous old-timers, guys who are coming to the games or who've been to practice, say that one of the things they love about Coach TJ and the group that they're seeing is the fact that there's an emphasis on defense, and that guys are playing defense and are beginning to understand, at least, that defense will key everything else. And if you think about the great Rebel teams in the past, great teams all over the place, but the great Rebel teams in the past, those teams absolutely were suffocating man-to-man defensive teams. A little bit of that, you know, if you want to talk about the amoeba, whatever it is. But it was whatever defense they were playing, that keyed the breaks, that keyed the offensive explosions, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it's proven.
Yeah, and that's certainly a mindset and a culture that we're developing every day. We just talked about it a little bit before we came on. The unfortunate part as a coach is you want that time on the practice floor. You want to get out to continue to reemphasize those habits, those fundamentals, and how important those are to our success. Yet you have a string of game.
Yep.
So you're trying to find necessary rest. I mean, this guy right in front of me here is playing 38 minutes a night and barely gets a break, and he's playing hard. He's getting knocked to the floor. He's on the ground, diving for loose balls. He's making so many plays that it's hard to do. But I know that if we stay committed to it, to our fundamental principles defensively, I know if we have that mindset and that mentality, that gradually we'll continue to improve at it, and that we'll be playing our best basketball as the season moves forward. And I think that's the goal for any program.
So I love learning about basketball. I think the fans do, you know, getting in the mind of the coach. Last night, Texas State, especially against Amari, when you guys are going with a high pick and roll, they're crashing the big out.
They're hedging like crazy,
right?
Yeah.
And Amari can't get to his left. What do you do to counteract that? How do you beat that? If you can't hit the roll man and Amari can't get around, what do you do?
Yeah, well, I think that's where the spacing is so important, that guys move on penetration. That, you know, when you've got somebody diving, you've got somebody shaking behind, you've got somebody, you know, drifting or lifting. And so wherever the ball's going, you've got a spacing plan. So if two guys are at the ball, that means somebody's open somewhere. We've got to get that guy to open space and then make simple play after simple play. I think where Amari has been genius, and I've seen his development and continued evolution, is he has that mindset of, I want to make the right play every time. And so you'll see if two guys come to the ball, he'll throw it to the opposite corner. He'll kick it ahead. He'll hit Bakay on the roll, or he'll, you know, make the play. And so I think so many times people get caught up in, well, how many shots, how many points, how do you want this, how do you want that? I want to put the ball in Amari's hands as many times as possible, trust his instincts, make sure our other guys are on the move, spacing the floor properly, and let him make the reads like a quarterback in football, find where the guy's open, and that guy make the play from there, and keep it really simple. I know that we're getting better at that every day, and I know specifically with Amari how much he wants to win, how much he trusts his coaches and his teammates, and he's going to keep making that right play, and we're going to cash in.
Well, I mean, that sounds like a great blueprint. Amari needs help, though, and he needs other guys to step up and make plays. And I think one of the things, and we'll talk to him about it later, is we've watched Amari mature over the last 3 years, or into his third year now. And watching him, you know, when he was a freshman, not sure the right play was always top of mind. It's so clear, as you say, Coach, that now for Amari and for Eli most of the time, making that right play, his veteran experience, those guys understand the importance of having the balance on the floor, having the spacing on the floor. It's just a matter of getting the rest of the guys to understand that well. They bought in. The question is, how do you apply it during the game?
Well, I think for everybody else, it's to the point we talked about earlier. The guys who aren't the ones making the majority of the play, they need to be shot ready. They need to have their hands ready to cut and finish. They need to be on the move on penetration. They have to make sure that a lot of times guys are standing on the opposite side of the floor with their hands up. Well, of course you're open, but it wouldn't be reasonable to be able to get you the ball where you're at. So I think for the other guys, it's about, you know, being in those spots. But I think when it comes down to Amari, where I'm so proud of him and for his development, is that what he can do is make the right play every single time. And what you're seeing from him is that's what he wants to do. And some nights that'll lead him to scoring 30 points. Some nights that might be 12 points and 10 assists and anywhere in between. But for him and his development, which is important to me, I want him to continue to make the right play. Now it's my job to get the other players to make sure that we space it the right way, we attack the drive the right way, we're ready to finish a play, and we're shot ready when he does do that.
Curtis, one of the things you and I spent some time talking about both pregame and during the game last night was movement and how much better the Rebels are, whether it's in transition or in the half court, when the guys are moving. and that there was a little bit of standing around last night, and we talked about reasons why and not taking open shots and stuff. But the ability to get on the move, whether it's after a rebound and heading up the floor or in the half-court offense, moving, cutting, moving that ball around, it's dramatic how much better the Runner Rebels are when they're doing that.
I don't think that goes just to say for the Runner Rebels. I think that's basketball across the board. Everybody's better, and it's harder to defend when guys are cutting, when there's motion, there's screens. It's easy to guard guys when they're standing. If I know you're just going to stand there and not cut, cool. I can focus my attention and show help. The thing with the Rebels that I love is when we are going, we're going. You can see. It's like poetry in motion. The guys are moving and passing and cutting. But in terms of when we don't get a stop, get a little stagnant.
Yeah.
But I think one thing, like Coach mentioned, in terms of making the right play, I think guys are still trying to figure out what is the right play for each situation and with who we've got on the court. It's still a work in progress from my perspective. But I think that kind of leads to – I've got a question. Can we throw this one in there?
Get one more before the break. Yep.
Is making the right play, obviously that's going to lead to success. In your perspective, Coach, for the program, kind of like John talked about, blueprint, outlay, how we're looking at it, how do you define success if it's play by play, game by game, non-conference, end of the season? Like, what does success look like to you in the situation that we're in with this current Run on Rebel group as we go from Wednesday night going into Saturday night and through the season?
Yeah, well, I think success started with making sure we had the right guys on the bus. Then it went to implementing work habits. Then it went to conditioning and saying we need to be in better shape. Then as you get ready to approach a season, it goes to this needs to be our identity for us to be at our best. It's get stops, finish plays on the glass, and get out and transition and try to score early. So all those things are true, and we want them to be there night in and night out. To me, success is that we need to continue to get better every single day as a group in all those areas. If we do that, the results follow. And I think, you know, obviously, I know what we sign up for here as coaches. The players do as well. You want to win on game night. That's the instant gratification you get for the hard work that you put in. We've had a couple that we lost in overtime. One more rebound, one more stop, we win those games. We might be having a whole different conversation right here. So to me, it's that there's a process that we need to continue to improve and keep our focus on that, because right now we can't control the losses that we've had and what's in the rearview mirror. But I know that if we get better tomorrow on the practice floor, we have a better chance to beat SMU on Saturday. And then if we get better on the practice floor after that, we have a better chance to beat Jackson State. And there's 353 Division I teams. Some teams get worse during the year. Some teams pull apart during the year. Some teams don't get better during the year. And fortunately, some do. We're going to continue that trend of improvement through the season by our practice habits. And whatever the outcomes of those games are, That won't define our success. Our work will define our success.
Well said, Coach. Appreciate it. We're going to take a break, come back. We're going to talk a little bit more about sort of team identity and that idea of building this Runner Rebel program with Coach T.J. Otzelberger, then visit with Amari Hardy. And now I won't say anything to Cabo, Amari. And DeMarlo Slocum, assistant coach, will join us later on. Fans, remember that U.S. Bank is helping businesses grow, families thrive, and communities succeed here in Nevada and all across the country. U.S. Bank, the power of possible, equal housing lender, member FDIC. You are listening to the T.J. Otzelberger Show from Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel Casino on the UNLV Sports Network from Learfield, IMG College. Sheeble, a three for the right side. Is good! Vitaly Sheeble knocks it down with the answer. 38-26. Vitaly Sheeble coming off the bench and knocking down a big outside shot late in the first half against Abilene Christian. The Rebels got the victory that night. Now get ready for the Mustangs of SMU on Saturday evening. It's a 7:30 tip Saturday night at the Thomas & Mack. We'll be on the air at 7 o'clock with Runnin' Rebel warm-up. Back here at Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel Casino, the Runner Rebel Coaches Show, John Sandler, Curtis Terry, Steve Cofield, and head coach T.J. Otzelberger visiting with you. And Coach, a couple of references to kind of, you know, hard-nosed defense and rebounding and running and all those things. How important do you think it is that a team identifies and understands and sort of takes to heart an identity, that this is who we are?
I think it's really important. You've got to have those things that you hang your hat on, that you believe in as a program, that your players believe in. There's going to be adversity. There's going to be individual adversity. There's going to be team adversity. And guys need to be able to dig deep and say, this is what we stand for. This is who we are. This is what we need to get back to being. And I think for our guys, again, it's still new coach, new players. A lot of guys didn't get here for school until the end of August. So we haven't had, even though we've had a few months together, it hasn't been all that much time. But I think that identity is really important. I think it's like anything in life. If you don't stand for something, you might stand for nothing. And those are the things we need to stand for with that hard-nosed defense, finishing plays on the glass, and getting out in transition.
And that's not, I mean, you can preach it and you can put banners up and stuff in the locker room, but it really has to grow organically. And it's got to be something that comes from the team. And as you said, even though the guys were together for a bit and we're six games into the season now, it's still developing.
Well, if I was a CEO of a financial company and we had $2 million in assets, I'm pretty sure I wouldn't come in and just put it all on black and say, we need to win it right now. We'd have a strategy that said year by year, day by day, there's a philosophy of how we invest our time, our resources, and our energy to gradually build wealth. And I think in our program, it's establish the foundation, and every day we want to make sure those habits are there so we continue to build. So I think, to me, the most relatable thing to everybody in their life is we've all had times and goals and things we want to do, but I think if I want to lose 30 pounds, I'm not going to lose it tomorrow. I'm probably going to have to develop eating habits, exercise habits, and a work ethic to do that. Our guys are working their butts off every day to put those habits into place, and I have a lot of confidence in them as a group that if we continue to roll up our sleeves and work how we are every day, that we'll keep getting better. And we've seen some of the moments what we can be, whether it be Kansas State or Cal or, you know, different times what we've seen. So now we've got to turn moments into consistent execution.
Are you gaining confidence in more of your players too? Last night, for the second straight game, we saw more minutes from Shebell. And Marvin Coleman actually played, you know, he played a minute all season. He played a lot last night, and I thought he played hard.
Yeah, no, Marvin did. He gave us great energy. I mean, look, first of all, Jonah being out is a guy who's played 30 minutes tonight, so that opens up some minutes. The other thing is we've had so many games in such a stretch that some of these guys need to get a few more minutes off their feet. You know, we've got to cut a guy like Amari from the 39.5 minutes down to 35.5. So, I mean, in general, I think those guys are continuing to earn trust every day in practice by their practice habits, and that's affording them an opportunity on game night. And like you said, we've seen some positives from Vitaly when he's had some minutes. Marvin had some positive moments yesterday as well, and we'll continue to build on those.
That idea of building identity, it becomes ingrained in the fabric of the culture that you're trying to build. And before we let you go for the evening, want to talk about that a little bit. That identity, that foundation is built this year. It's built with these guys. The future Running Rebels will have to build upon that, but it's the foundation that's being built this year that they will be building on.
It is, and look, I want to win every single game we play right now. Like right now, what's on my mind is I want to beat the brakes off of SMU on Saturday. That is what is on my mind right now. It is not the end of the year, next year, what happens, and I owe it to the young men in our program. Amari's not going to ever have another junior year. This is his one junior year. We need to win as many games and have the best possible year we can and try to win every single night out there. At the same time, we're not going to compromise what we need to do on a daily basis to have a framework in order to do that. And I think, fortunately for us, the short term and the long term go hand in hand. What we're doing on a daily basis gives us the best chance to beat SMU. What we're doing on a daily basis gives us the best chance to win as we move forward into our future.
Let's talk about SMU for a second before we lose you for the evening. You go home and put the kids to bed. But the Mustangs are good. They're really good, and they will challenge you in all aspects of the game.
They are. I mean, they're a tremendous offensive rebounding team. They've got a lot of length at all positions. They're going to play guards. People on the perimeter that are going to look like power forwards, and they're going to have athletes. They're one of the better offensive rebounding teams in the country. They run a set every single time down, and they're trying to, you know, get post touches or get isolations and mismatches, and then they kind of you know, see what's working or pick what they think their best options are and roll those out in the second half. So, again, I think for us, as much as we respect SMU like every opponent, when we are playing at our best, especially at Thomas and Mack, we love our chances. It's most important to me to fill these guys' buckets up, to give them the feedback they need so we can be at our best. That's what gives us ultimately the best chance to beat SMU.
I love that you're a bucket filler. That's awesome. Everybody should be a bucket filler. And I think that it's important, the foundation, John, like you mentioned. We've talked about this a couple of times, and it relates to me and resonates with me because of a reason, my experience here. My first year here at UNLV was Coach Kruger's first year, and we had what was on paper, three all-conference guys, and we were picked to finish second in the league. That didn't happen by any stretch of the imagination. We went 17-14, went to the NIT. It's funny, though, because the success that we had the years after the Sweet 16 and the tournament runs, that was because of Romel Beck, O'Darty Blankson, Jarrell Blassingame, Lou Amundson, Dustin Villapeg, all the guys that were there that first year that sacrificed to work and set the culture, lay the groundwork.
Andy Hannon.
Andy the Birdman Hannon. So a lot of guys that allowed us to be successful because they put in the blood, sweat, and tears, but they don't get the fulfillment, the joy, the accolades, because they weren't there when it happened. But that doesn't happen without those guys. Because like you said, you've got to start, you've got to lay it, and it's going to build and grow. And that's the thing I love that we're seeing is lost a couple close games, not how we wanted them to end, but you see the growth in terms of the guys are doing the small things in terms of building their identity, sticking to that, hanging their hat on that, and then going to play to their strengths and work on their weaknesses to put together the full puzzle.
Absolutely right. Coach, as always, we appreciate it. Know you got work to do, but also you get this little period in your life where you get to go home and get home before the little ones are asleep, and we support that fully. So we're gonna let you go. We'll get a chance to visit before and after the game on Saturday, and I know you're gonna want to see a big crowd at the Thomas and Mack on Saturday night.
No, absolutely. We appreciate the fans that have been loyal, continuing to come out and give us that support. I'll tell you what, be proud of these guys. They're fighting their tail off. Nobody more than this guy right in front of me right here. When he has a chance to come up here, trust me, every day there's no one bought in, no one that wants to be more successful for this program and developing and getting better every day. I couldn't be more proud of him and our guys. Keep giving us that chance. Trust me, we're going to turn the corner.
Coach Otzelberger, well said again. Appreciate it. We'll see you at the game on Saturday night.
Sounds great. Thanks, guys.
That's TJ Otzelberger. We'll take another break. Come back with more. We'll visit with Amari Hardy when we come back. You're listening to the TJ Otzelberger Show from Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel Casino on the UNLV Sports Network from Learfield, IMG College. Under a minute to go. Eli catches and hustles it up the floor. Eli in the front court to Hardy. Hardy, a very long three. It's good. Amari knocks down a three off the handoff. 5-point lead with 47 to go. Amari Hardy doing what he has done all season long, and that is carrying the load for the Rebels. Big three late, but too little too late against a really tough Texas State team. As the Rebels dropped the game last night, now turn their attention to SMU. Saturday night at 7:30. We'll be on the air at 7 o'clock with Runner Rebel warm-up. John Sandler, Curtis Terry, Steve Cofield, and the aforementioned Amari Hardy joining us. Amari, appreciate it. Thanks for coming.
No problem.
And thanks for hanging with us for a little while. We have watched you. I have watched you over your first 3 years at UNLV. And each year you have taken a step. But they say that the step a player takes from freshman to sophomore year is the biggest. No question for you, it has been the step from last year to this year. You're a totally different player on the floor. Your perspective, your understanding of the game, your understanding of your role, all of that has just grown immensely. What do you think the biggest reason, the biggest keys for that change? Is it just growing up, or are there some specific things you can point to?
I would definitely say it was a part of growing up, my maturity. But then I just wanted to invest more in myself, invest more in my teammates, because I know a lot of times I was focusing like just a lot on myself, and I was like, let me take a step outside of myself and invest more in my teammates, just invest more in my time, what I do, my priorities, my sacrifices. And I decided to take that on and do that.
When you look at yourself and look back at the way you played freshman and even sometimes last year, you just kind of shake your head and say, wait a minute, I wish I knew and then what I know now.
I definitely done that a lot of times. You know, even then, I try to, you know, take from the lessons that I learned in the past, you know, apply them now, you know, to my game, and you know, just even, you know, the passes, you know, different coverages, and just knowing, you know, how teams may guard me, and just, you know, going over those type of situations in my head, you know, before the game, and just knowing how to attack those.
You mentioned how teams are guarding you. Is it getting more similar each game?
I would definitely say it's getting a lot more similar. You know, guys are trying to double my ball screens, trying to deny my catches. They're really collapsing on the paint. Guys are really walling up. So, you know, I'm taking those things to count every game. And, you know, it all goes down to my decision-making. You know, I got to be able to make that pass before I get in there. I got to switch up my finishes. Maybe I got to come and pull up with a mid-range, or I got to get rid of the ball quicker than get it back. So those are a lot of things that's going through my head before the game even starts.
So this is for both Curtis and Amari. I hear so much about the mid-range jumper is evil. You don't want to take the mid-range jumper. But you're a guy who gets downhill. You drive. So how do you kind of process what the best shot is? Because sometimes overdriving puts you, you know, where you're enveloped by two 250-pound guys. And I want you to answer this, too. Like, I know the game has changed, but there still has to be a spot for, like, a 10-foot jumper, no?
Yeah, I would definitely say that. But you just got to know it's the right time and the right place. You know, you just don't want to, you know, settle for the mid-range. I would say, you know, it's just the right time. You know, if you get in there and the guy's momentum going down, you know, that's the time to pull up on him. You know, his momentum's going the other way. You stop, pull up, knock it down. You know, it's just you got to know the right time and the right place to do it.
Are you sure you want me to answer this one? No, I'm just playing. So, no, I think I love the mid-range. I think it's a good in-between ground because there's three-level scoring, from the perimeter, from the mid-range, and at the basket. If you're a type of player who only catches and shoots, like we've talked about, they're not going to let you get shots off. Coach knows that. Their scouting report, you're going to tag, lock, and trail. No clean shots. That's where I think the mid-range is beautiful. Either a shot fake and a sidestep or a shot fake, one, two dribbles. And that shot is just as good if you shoot it at a high clip. That's how I think you get the defense to play more honest, because otherwise you see it's shot from three or all the way to the basket, but just because you're getting closer doesn't mean it's a better shot, because there's arms in their hands, big guys shooting over them, as opposed to getting to the spot. But it's all predicated on what the defense gives you. You can't go in there with the mindset like, I'm going to get to the rack every time tonight, or I'm going to shoot all threes. You've got to take what the defense gives you. And like you said, there's a time and place for everything. But I think it's about what Coach Otzelberger mentioned, knowing when to make that right play and how that's going to impact. Do we need to do that now and press and try or force? Or do we need to pull back a little bit and make sure we work around, get the ball to Mbake? Or is it time for Amari to do his thing out there and create?
There's also the challenge of dealing with how the game is being called. Because I was sitting on the sideline. I'm listening to John call. Bryce Hamilton, I thought, made a great play getting into the lane.
Yep.
He released from 8 feet, and I didn't even see the defender fall down, and then all of a sudden it's a charge, and you're like, wait, that was a good shot. So, you know, how do you process that? Where I'll give you the other thing, and I don't want to turn this into complaining about officials, but I'm actually surprised how often Amari has crashed into bigs, and you're not getting calls. It almost feels like this year they're letting a little more physicality go, especially close to the basket, right?
I really think they are, and Mari, you know better than anybody.
I would definitely say that, you know, just from my first year to my second year to now, you know, I'm driving. You know, guys' bodies are all over me, and I'm not getting calls. So now I start to take that into account. Okay, now I might have to start shooting the mid-range. You know, it's not the NBA where, you know, the defense is 3 seconds. No, it's not always going to be open. No, I'm driving in on guys 6'8", 6'9", and they're just walling up. And it's not a foul no more. So it's, now I might have to improvise now, you know what I mean? I might have to get the mid-range. You know, keep the defense on their heels, not knowing what I'm going to do, not knowing what I'm going to do every time. So, yeah, you can't be predetermined things.
Go ahead, Curtis.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to talk to Amari a little bit more about leadership, because Coach has talked about how proud he is of you and how impressed he is with all the things you've done. And, you know, one of the areas that you knew you had to work on was your defense, and your defense has become a strength instead of a weakness, and you should be really proud, and he is really proud, and I know all the coaches are proud of the work you put on the defensive end, but also becoming a leader on the floor and becoming a leader in the locker room and at practice and all of those things. You know, you've got some guys with strong personalities on this team and guys who have some leadership skills. Mbake is a leader. Shekna Dembele is a coach. But you yourself have developed into that leader, and because you go out there and give it your all the time, you have that credibility. How important has that been to you to kind of step up and take on that role?
I think it's been a real, real big thing for me this year. You know, guys are looking at me as one of the returners, one of the returner leading scorers. So guys are looking at me, you know, when it gets crunch time, guys are looking at me. You know, if I show bad body language, then, you know, my teammates might feel some type of way. Or, you know, if I'm showing that I'm down or I'm complaining, then, you know, it may affect the team chemistry. So, you know, those are things that you can't do. And, you know, you got to stay consistent throughout the season. You got to stay consistent, you know, just holding yourself accountable and watch how other people watch you.
I wanted to ask about defense. Who do you like covering more? Like last night, Nigel Pearson, 6'5", big, strong guy. I don't know if you got switched on to the little guy, Harrell, but what's for you, what's more challenging, the guy your size or smaller who's really fast or the big, strong guy who's really more of a 2-3?
I wouldn't say it was too much of a challenge being that. I feel like I take the ownership of myself. I got quick feet. I feel like I cut guys first dribble off and challenge at the same time. So, you know, like you said, the little guy. I can challenge over his shots. I can give him a little bit more space. So, I mean, I don't really think, you know, it varies person to person.
I thought one of the best plays of the year was the one you made on defense against Abilene Christian, where you cut the guy off, head into the basket, and drew a charge. And in a critical portion of the game. I mean, that not only takes physical ability, it takes understanding the game, and that's what you've kind of developed.
I remember my first year, that was something that I really wasn't doing. My second year, I started to pick up a little bit. So now, you know, I'm in my third year, and it's something that, like, I know when somebody's driving hard right, if I just cut their first dribble off, their momentum's going downhill, I know I can get that charge almost every single time. You know, it's either something that I practice, like, in practice. You know, I do it countless numbers of times. You know, David be like, man, why you flopping? I tell him, like, man, listen to me. If you do, you can use this on people. You know, use it in crunch time games because dude's going to be driving to the basket real hard.
That's really, really smart. We're going to take a break. We can come back and visit a little bit more with Amari, get his thoughts on this team and the culture and the foundation that's being built at UNLV and his role as part of that. You're listening to the Runner Rebel Coaches Show from Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel Casino on the UNLV Sports Network from Learfield, IMG College. Pearson to a cutting Harrell. Harrell, good pass to Scott. They work it out to Davis, and his three is blocked by a flying Nick Blair, taken by Tillman. A great hustle by Nick Blair. Old man Nick getting up on that three yesterday in the ball game. Runner Rebels getting ready for SMU on Saturday. John Sandler, Curtis Terry, Steve Cofield, and Amari Hardy leading the Rebels in just about everything this year and doing a great job. Amari, I know it had to be difficult with a new coach and all the change. And talk about, if you will, how you and how your teammates have made it through and kind of bought into what's going on.
You know, I say it just first started, you know, with each other. You know, we were the guys that was here before the coaches came aboard, you know, and, you know, we had to take, you know, the ownership, you know, just trust each other. You know, we all who we got right now, you know, we had to trust each other first, and then it came to just trusting the coach. And I think we're doing a great job of that right now, trusting the coach's philosophy, you know, the game plans they're giving us each and every day, you know, their status and what they have done in the past. You know, we take that all into account. You know, we're trusting them day in and day out. So, you know, put us in the best position possible.
And Curtis, that word that Amari used there, trust, that's a big deal between players and coaches and among the players themselves.
Without a doubt. I mean, you can't go out there on the court and be successful with somebody over a sustained period if you don't trust them. And I think a big idea to take a look at that shows a lot of trust is in defense or full court or half court, when the guy on the ball, the point guard, the head of the snake, as I like to call it, you have confidence if you can get up there and guard, if you know somebody's behind you talking, knowing which way the pick is coming, where you can shade to. But when it's quiet, and tell me if I'm wrong, if you're guarding the ball at half court by yourself, if it's quiet, how do you feel? What does that tell you in your head? So that way you can express what that situation feels like to you when you're out there guarding the ball, but it's just dead silence behind you.
It feels like you're on an island by yourself, literally by yourself. You don't know what's going on behind you. You don't know if you're about to get hit by a blind screen pick, back pick, or whatever the case may be. So, you know, just to have that communication alone is always helpful.
So when you feel like that, what does that tend your play to do?
That's when you start to back up. You start to, you know, let the guys be more comfortable on offense. You start to lay back. You start to guard your man different. You know, that pressure, it just goes away.
Right. Trust is huge, without a doubt. You've got to know that I can guard the ball because someone's going to have my help if I get beat. And if they rotate, then somebody's going to rotate out. Shot blocker in the back, like Mbake, That's always good. We used to do that. Go ahead. If you beat me, I know it's going to get blocked. So it's all good. So that way you can press up. But you got to have trust. So that way they trust you to make the right play defensively. They're behind you. But also they trust that you're going to make the shot, but you trust them that I'm going to kick it because I know you're going to make it. So trust is huge. I think without that, you're sunk.
Amari, before we let you go, one question. Coach talked about the number of minutes you're playing, and he made a joke about it. But you're on the court a lot. And how do you feel? How are you dealing with playing more minutes? How's all that working out for you? And because we're just at the beginning. It's a long road ahead, and you know it.
I feel pretty good right now, honestly. But, of course, I'm sore. But, I knew coming to the season I'd be playing a lot of minutes. So, you got to get to sleep. You got to eat right. You got to take better care of your body. You just can't do the things that you used to do when you wasn't playing that amount of time. So, I got to just do stuff different. I can't be up late. And you just got to know, when you're playing out there sometimes, even getting a charge, it gives you that extra second to catch your breath. So, just doing little things like that.
Well, Amari, you're doing such a great job. We're having so much fun watching you. I know you're going to pull your teammates along with you.
Yeah.
And Saturday is not going to be easy. SMU's really good, big, long team with a lot of offensive firepower. But I know you will lead the Rebels well on Saturday night for the rest of the season. Appreciate you coming
out. Thank you.
Amari Hardy, our guest, leading the Runner Rebels this year. We'll take a break. DeMarlo Slocum, assistant coach, will come join us, talk about coming home to Las Vegas. Have that for you when we come back. You're listening to the Runner Rebel Coaches Show from Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel Casino from Learfield, IMG College. They work the ball inside to Gaiman, goes baseline. Gaiman now double team, throws the ball off the back of the backcourt. What great defense by Ibaka and Jonah Antonio, double teaming him on the baseline and forcing that turnover. Great defense by the Runner Rebels in the game against Abilene Christian. Unfortunately, Jonah Antonio not able to play last night, and I think it really was a factor in the game. Rebels didn't have that threat from outside in the game against Texas State. John Sandler, Steve Cofield, Curtis Terry with you. Our final segment as we are joined now by assistant coach DeMarlo Slocum. And, Coach, thank you for coming by. We talked about it a little bit the first time we got a chance to visit on our pregame show, but what does it mean to you to be able to come home?
Oh, man, it's awesome. I think the first time I walked into Thomas and Mack, immediately I got goosebumps. I remember coming as a kid, and I couldn't wait to get out of high school, junior high school, to run in those games. They would give us the free tickets. And a couple of buddies, teammates, we would run down and watch the game. So to be able to sit on the sidelines sometimes, even last night I walked out and I just immediately, ex-memories just start coming back. And so it's pretty cool to look up and see your dad sitting in the stands and with Rebel gear on. It's awesome.
It's a lot of fun. I know Curtis has the same feelings when he comes into Thomas and Mack. And he played here, didn't grow up here, but now that you get to be a part of this program, I know you are anxious to help rebuild it.
No, it was my only reason in coming back. I left a great program with the University of Utah, and I just felt, even when Curtis, being at Colorado State and watching, Kruger and those days, I think that was the year there were five different head coaches come in the Mountain West.
Yep.
And they had a great run at it, and obviously there was some let down over the last couple of years. And so just to have the opportunity to have an impact and, get some city kids to stay home and get this community and the stands back filled with red, man, it's an awesome feeling and have the chance to have an impact on that.
What's the challenge of pitching hometown kids? Because, there are many who probably look and they're like, hey, I want to get out of the area. So it's a different kind of pitch. It's an advantage to have, all that talent here. But what's it like pitching the hometown kids if they're like, "Yeah, I want to leave"?
It's a work in progress. Like, I think that what I found is that when there's a mom and a dad at home and they know the history of UNLV basketball, that makes it a lot easier. Sometimes these kids now they didn't get to see the great days of UNLV, but that's part of recruiting. That's part of our job is to lay it down and for them to see and educate them on the history. And the foundation of UNLV basketball. So that's what we've put a lot of our time and efforts in, and just educating the young kids nowadays in terms of what it was and what it's probably going to be if we keep building and doing the right things moving forward.
And to me, it's something special to play, you know, in front of your community. There's a different passion that you're going to get from fans when you're a hometown guy and you're doing it for your local fans.
Yeah, no, there's nothing like, again, like I said, to come out and give your mom and dad an opportunity to see you play every night. I know firsthand, I played in Georgia, and my mom never seen me play a college basketball game. Maybe the one time we played on television, but that's special in itself to be able to come out and see your mom and hug and kiss your mom and dad, brothers and sisters after the game. I think that's most certainly something that we sell, and I think from a couple of our recruits thus far, that's been a big impact for them.
Yeah, the Rebels have focused on local kids in the class next year. Six signees, I believe, and was it four local kids of the six or five of the local kids of the six?
Yes, it's four. Four of the six are local kids. I would say really three. One kid, you know, he moved in state,
right.
and you know, but yeah, no, that's a great start. I always felt, you know, I always had the question in the back of my head in terms of why it was never able to happen. But again, that's one of the reasons why I took the job, is to give these kids opportunity, because coming out of the state here, I didn't have it. You know, I was state player of the year and didn't have an opportunity to play here, and I've never forgotten about that. But very, very thankful to have the opportunity to give kids an opportunity to do so.
Well, we're glad you got over it.
Yeah.
Let alone, maybe you didn't forget it, but you got over it. We're very happy about it. What do you like most about this team? I know it's early. I know it's, you guys are just getting started, but what do you like most about it?
You know, again, this is my, if you want to call it a rebuild, my fifth university where I've been, and it's year one, and I've just been pretty proud in terms of, you guys spoke about trust, right? And it's not easy when a new staff rolls in and you've got, you know, a crew of new guys, and they're looking at us and we're looking at them, and it's one of those things where I've just been really proud, especially for Amari, because I think of all the returning guys, he had the most ownership in terms of all the guys returning, and he had a rough 2 months with us from a start, and he's made a 360 change. So just to see the growth of these guys, it's just been awesome. To you know, even after a tough loss like last night, to come to practice day and watch those kids work. I've been in other programs to where that wasn't the case. I think that's been pretty cool to see these guys just working and continue to know that there's a bigger picture moving forward. Yeah.
Well, the next opportunity to show that work pay off is Saturday night at the Thomas and Mack. SMU, the Mustangs in town, a really good basketball team, and the Rebels will need their best to take care of the Mustangs on Saturday. We will have all the action starting at 7 p.m. with Runner Rebel warm-up. Tip is 7:30, and we certainly hope to see a great crowd out at the Thomas and Mack for that game against SMU. Go to the football game in the afternoon. Final Rebel game at Sam Boyd Stadium. 1 o'clock kickoff against San Jose State. And then 7:30 at the Thomas and Mack. That's going to do it for us. Thank you very much for Steve, for Nick, for Curtis, for Coach, for Coach Slocum. This is John saying thanks for listening. Talk to you Saturday night. Have a great evening, everybody.
Live from Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel and Casino, you've been listening to the Runnin' Rebels Basketball Coaches Show, brought to you by State Farm. Go with the one that's here to help life go right. Talk to an agent today at 800-STATE-FARM. And by Chevron. It's proven. No gasoline gets better mileage than Chevron with Techron. Care for your car. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Rebel Sports Network.